welcome to Didion Hawthorne in the In-Between, or DHNI. I'm your host, Mackenzie Gentz, and you're listening to our podcast about the relevance of literature in the 21st century. Now bookmark that book, and let's begin.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu unserem Podcast. Today we are talking about the female-focused dystopia Blue Ticket by Sophie McIntosh, which came out just earlier this year. And what pulled me into this novel was the quote on the front, actually, which reads, quote, "Blue Ticket is a wonder. Be sure to read everything Sophie McIntosh writes." That is a quote from Deborah Levy. And I thought, if someone was that impacted by her writing, I would give her a shot, especially because this new genre of female-focused dystopian fiction is of interest to me as well as to us on the show. We've done a lot of dystopian fiction on this show from the past few years. We have an episode on dystopia I did with my colleague Adam Wurst, which was so fun to record. It was just such a great episode. There's two parts to that episode, by the way. There's an episode on Vox by Christina Dalker, which we'll get to in a minute. And also there's an episode on Machines Like Me by Ian McEwan. That's Ian McEwan's new book from last year. And as well, speaking of that quote from Deborah Levy, I'm going to be talking about my thoughts on judging books by their covers in our Patreon-only podcast for August, coming out in a few days. So if you want to ask me a question for one of those podcasts directly, or hear more about my thoughts on this super interesting topic of books and covers and quotes, patreon.com/relevanceofliterature is the place to go for that. Now, a little bit about Sophie McIntosh. I actually didn't know anything about her for the entirety of my reading the novel, though I knew she was a relatively new rising star type in this realm of the lit community. I mean, if you look at the quote on the cover, you can tell that she hasn't written, you know, a dozen books yet, too, for example, but she's expected to write a lot more. Her only other published novel, in fact, is called The Water Cure, and the title alone, I don't know anything about the book, but the title alone reminds me of that movie The Cure to Wellness, which is so creepy but so extraordinary because it really pinpoints a lot of the struggles of our society, especially with things like healthcare. Anyway, getting back to the topic at hand, digressions aside, I'm just gonna read her Amazon bio out loud here, and all of the links that I'm using today are linked, of course, at relevanceofliterature.com/notes for your reference. Sophie McIntosh was born in South Wales in 1988 and is currently based in London. Her fiction, essays, and poetry have been published by Granta, The White Review, The New York Times, The Stinging Fly, among others. Her short story, Grace, was the winner of the 2016 White Review Short Story Prize, and her story, The Running Ones, won the Virago Stylist Short Story Competition in 2016. Sophie's debut novel, The Water Cure, was published by Hamish Hamilton in the UK in spring 2018, and by Doubleday in the US. That's actually the same one in the US as Blue Ticket. Getting back to the quote, and early 2019 to critical acclaim, and was longlisted for the Man Booker Prize. That's a very, very prestigious prize, by the way, in the world of literature. So McIntosh is indeed a rising star, as I mentioned before, and it's really amazing that we at the show have an opportunity to recognize this newest work of hers. I'm really excited to talk about it. Blue Ticket itself is about a society where girls, when they have their first monthly cycles, select a ticket. If they receive a white ticket, their path is the motherly family path. They have children. If they select a blue ticket, they are free to pursue independence and a career. The whole concept is that they are finally free of the choice between the two. Originally, our main character, Calla, thinks that the ticket system is the product of mass surveillance, which is a common theme, of course, throughout all of dystopian literature, but we eventually learn from her doctor, Dr. A, that the tickets are given out at random. Interestingly, though, Dr. A is a really dubious and patronizing figure throughout the novel, mostly more fantastic in Calla's mind than substantial, so within the world of the novel, it's totally possible that Dr. A is just lying to her in another heinous vie for control over her life and mind. The beauty of that situation, though, is that it's up to the reader to decide. My first impression of the novel, looking at the cover, since I'll be talking a lot about covers again in a few days on Patreon, was that of The Handmaid's Tale, or a little more precisely, I think of Vox by Christina Dalker. From the cover, you can absolutely tell what subgenre this falls under, again, female-focused dystopian fiction. I like the simplicity of the cover. It's a girl in a blue dress looking away from the cover, from the viewer, in a very simplistic space, like a mix of a church and a kitchen, it feels like. The walls and parts of the floor are also that same blue, so there's a lot of monochromatism in that. In terms of the text, the blurb quote on the bottom, as well as the author's name and her man booker acclaim on the top, are all in white, with the title proper being in bold and red on the cover. This is another tangent, but I don't know if you guys played those brain games growing up, but I always played this one where the color spelled out and the text color were different, so the text would say yellow but the print would be black and you had to select yellow instead of black as the answer. Well, the fact that the word blue was in red on this cover reminded me of those games quite a bit. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but really did. I was also interested in the description that the book jacket itself gives on the inside cover, because I haven't done a review on a book in this genre in a while, so I thought this would be a really interesting addition, especially after I read through the book jacket and thought, this seems like a really interesting dystopian society to get into for a while. I read this book in about 4 to 4.5 hours, if my recollections serve me well, and I knew it was going to be a fast read because of the way even the first page was written. It's a very poetic dialogue-like prose that is stream of consciousness at some points and matter of fact at others. One criticism that I have of how the book cover and jacket description portray the book would be that the jacket especially focuses on the societal aspects of the setting of the novel, whereas to me the novel itself is much more like a character study than anything else. Similarly to Vox, the main character is a woman who breaks the rules, Kala is a blue ticket who decides to have a child, and in that way I do think we get a distinct view of society based on how society treats a woman who steps out of line, which is not well, by the way. Kala has to run away into the woods, and the book, spoiler alert, doesn't end in her favor. Unlike Vox, though, the prose itself is not like someone writing a book about their experiences after the fact, even though Kala is writing from a retrospective viewpoint. It's like someone who doesn't have paper and wants to make a kind of spoken word story or poetry out of their experience. After some reflection, I think that perhaps the difference between the two novels' narrations could lie in the differences between the novel's main characters, as the main character Vox is a neuroscientist linguist, while Kala, even though she is a chemist, doesn't have that same scientific perspective imbued into her personality, and I think that that's absolutely recognized in her prose. Another difference between the two main characters in these two different novels, and indeed between the two novels as a whole, is that the main character in Vox lived through a world similar to ours before coming into this dystopian world. So in other words, the restrictions on speech in Vox occurred later in the main character's life, whereas Kala didn't directly experience a society or world different from this dystopia, and readers, I think, can absolutely see the effects of that on her mental status and her thoughts, again through these retrospective narrations. And I should mention, by the way, that there is no standard practice with narration in this genre. I found really amazing benefits to both styles, and I think both are unique and super valuable for exploring and giving us insights into these authors' thoughts about our society today. Moving on, for me, a lot of Kala's story focuses on her relationships, specifically her relationship with herself, her relationship with substances and pacifiers, as well as her relationship with her unborn child. Kala learns for the freedom to decide and for the freedom to prove herself. However, when she actually sets out about doing these things in terms of her illicit pregnancy, of course, her lack of knowledge and experience end up, at least in my opinion, taking center stage. For example, Calla has a severe drinking problem that's never really addressed at all in the novel, and she continues drinking, albeit less-ish, throughout her pregnancy, which brings up some really important conversations about mental health, especially in Calla's kind of society, one that favors extreme independence and extreme reliance on oneself. So a lot of Calla's relationships with other people are very surface and revolve around the fundamentals of this society that they live in. For example, Calla's friends are either her neighbors or her colleagues at work, other blue tickets, who are known to be promiscuous because they can be so without ramifications, and ultimately, as I said, very independently minded, very free with their bodies and with their time. But going out for drinks and seeing how much one can drink in such a group is not productive. It's not a productive way to facilitate meaningful relationships, because at the end of the night, we as readers never knew whether the information that Calla was given was genuine or a product of this sort of hallucinatory, booze-infested environment. And that effect is, again, really cool for us as readers because it reflects the confusion that Calla feels in the society, it reflects a lot of the limitations of this society, and we're left to ask, is she surveilled or not, for example? Is she all there mentally or not? Her relationship with key characters in the novel, such as her father and Dr. A, also seem distant and somewhat made up to me because both of the relationships were quite platonic, very surface, yet these figures keep coming up again and again in these memory sequences in the novel. I have a lot more to delve into about these two, but for the sake of time, I'm going to restrain myself and move on to the biggest relationship, aside from the ones with herself and with substances that I already mentioned in the novel, which is that between Calla and another pregnant blue ticket woman named Marisol. Marisol is a relentless figure in the latter parts of the novel because she's someone who Calla develops a romantic relationship with while they are both pregnant, and someone who's a good opposition to Calla in terms of their personalities. Spoiler alert, however, Marisol ends up betraying Calla by having worked for the government the whole time, alerting the government to other pregnant blue ticket women so she could keep her baby, and eventually, because her child dies in the womb, she takes Calla's daughter abroad without Calla in order to raise this daughter as her own, and the book ends in a relatively dark place, especially to me, the epilogue, which is one page long, and it's really darkly hopeful and darkly, again, made up, seeming like a fairy tale on Calla's part. And to me, the nature of the betrayal as well as the ending to the book signify a lot about the hopelessness of the systems that this society has put into place. It's like there's no moving forward. There are so many themes that we could get into yet in this novel, motherhood being a big one. I want to hear about that in the comments section, but I will restrain myself again for the sake of time. Let me know your thoughts about the novel and my take on it at relevanceofliterature.com/notes. The comments are on for that post. And if you're interested in live streams, more podcasts, and exclusive book clubs, check out patreon.com/relevanceofliterature. Alright y'all, see you on Thursday. If you enjoyed the discussion and would like to hear more from us, there is a show and a series for everyone, so I'd recommend checking out our website, relevanceofliterature.com, under the ongoing series tab for links to our entire back catalog of episodes. We also have a couple of open surveys that you can find through the links in the description, so if you have 3 minutes while you're waiting in line somewhere, we would very much appreciate your feedback on our show. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode, and we'll see you next time.